Good morning, and welcome once again to Mornings for the Master, a program heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. It is replayed in the evenings at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and always posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So we hope you join us each weekday. This is your Thursday edition. My name is Chris McElyea. I'm your host on Thursdays. Each weekday has a different host and a different course of study. And so I hope that you are tuning into these programs on a daily basis and getting your day started in the right direction. Now, on our Thursday program, for some time we have been looking at Paul's letters to Timothy. We examine his first letter, and we have been examining his second letter, and today we are going to complete our study of 2 Timothy. We are in chapter 4, and we are going to be looking at verses 9 through 22 today. And again, as we mentioned earlier, you can go back and look in the on-demand section at previous portions of these studies that you might have missed. And you can do that for any of the other programs here on the Gospel Radio Network. So now let's get into our study for today. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's begin with verse 9 through the end of the letter. Paul writing to Timothy, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." So Paul, finally now, at the end of this letter, turns his attention to some various personal matters and salutations as he closes his second letter to Timothy. These final verses reveal to us much about the mind of Paul and his disposition and his attitude as he nears the end of his earthly journey, and these are things that we will consider today. Let's begin now by looking at some of Paul's personal concerns. In verse 9, he told Timothy to be diligent to come to me quickly. Paul makes a personal appeal to Timothy to come to him as quickly as possible. Paul is in Rome and quite aware that his death is at hand, as we will notice in verse 6, where Paul said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." The fact is, even a great man like the Apostle Paul stood in need of the encouragement and the consolation of his beloved close associates. Sometimes we may tend to think that those that we hold out as great are those in the forefront of the spiritual battle might not have the need of such, but that is not the case. For even those who are strong stand in great need of the encouragement of the saints. Without a doubt, Paul would have had some final exhortations for Timothy that he wanted to give him personally and not by letter. In verse 10, he said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia." Paul is almost done now as the time of his death nears. His associates had left him for various reasons, and he needed Timothy to come to him soon. He stated that Luke was the only one still with him. This was likely due to the fact that Luke was a doctor, and he was allowed to tend to Paul with little or no interference. Paul said that Demas had forsaken him. Apparently, Demas was not willing to die just for Paul. He loved and treasured his life more. Many scholars believe that he loved the things of the world more, but it may be that he just loved life itself and wasn't willing to die. But Demas, nevertheless, went to Thessalonica. And that is the last we hear of Demas in the scripture. We do not know ultimately where his heart ended. We can only hope for the best. Crescens was another close associate of Paul. And it says that he had left Paul and went to Galatia. This is the only reference to Christians in the scripture. But he was obviously someone very close to Paul for him to mention it. We find that Titus had left Paul for Dalmatia. Now, concerning this, Barnes, in his commentary, noted that Paul does not mention the reason why Titus had gone. He said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia." Paul is almost alone now at the time of his death. He's drawing closer. His associates had left him for varying reasons, and he needed Timothy to come to him soon. Luke was the only one still with him. And this was likely because Luke was a doctor and would not be hindered from being able to see Paul for that reason, as he would be allowed to tend to him physically. Demas had forsaken Paul. Demas was apparently not willing to die just for Paul. He loved to live. Many scholars believe he loved the things of the world, but it may be possible that he just loved life itself and did not want to die. Demas went to Thessalonica, and it is the last we hear of him in the scripture. We do not know ultimately where his heart ended up. We can only hope for the best as far as Demas is concerned. We find that Crescens left Paul and went to Galatia. This is the only mention of him in the scriptures. So obviously he was an individual that was very close to Paul and near and dear to his heart. We find that Titus left Paul for Dalmatia. Notice what Albert Barnes noted in his commentary here concerning this. Paul does not mention the reason why Titus had gone there, but it is not improbable that he had gone to preach the gospel or to visit churches that Paul had planted in that region. The apostle does not suggest that he was deserving of blame for having gone, and it can hardly be supposed that Titus would have left him at this point without his concurrence. Perhaps when he permitted him to go, he did not know how soon events would come to a crisis for him. So in verse 11, he said, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." So the good doctor Luke was still with Paul. Luke had been very faithful to Paul during much of his missionary journeys and labors. Luke was a spiritual and physical aid to Paul. Now Paul also gave instructions to Timothy to bring Mark with him. Faithful men like Luke and Mark would pen three of the first five books of our New Testament. John Mark was the beneficiary of strong Christian family ties. His mother Mary hosted the early church in her home when they prayed for Peter's release from prison in Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. We find that Mark was a kinsman of the great encourager Barnabas. And Mark no doubt benefited from that relationship. Note Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Now, even though Mark and Paul had a falling out earlier in Acts 13 and Acts 15, he still served ably. And Mark and Paul would come back together later, for the same goal was in both of their hearts. Notice verse 11 in our text again. Paul said that Mark was useful. And also, let us remember how Paul's fellow apostle Peter felt about Mark. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 13, he said, "She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son." Now Barnes noted that it is possible that Paul wanted to see Mark to make sure there was no lingering doubts about their relationship on the part of Mark. An interesting thought. Paul, we see, also dispatched Tychicus to Ephesus. Tychicus is very possibly the bearer of this letter. It is also very possible that Tychicus would replace Timothy at Ephesus. Tychicus was an associate of Paul on his third missionary journey and was used as a courier by Paul also. Notice Colossians 4, beginning in verse 7. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you all the things which are happening here. Now also notice a few other scriptures here. Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. Also Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you. Titus chapter 3 and verse 12. When I send Artemas to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me as at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. And as we return back to our text now, verse 13, says, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. So Paul had apparently left his coat with Carpus in Troas. This is the only mention of Carpus in the scripture. He must have been a good man. According to verse 21, he wanted Timothy to arrive by winter and with the coat he left behind. He said, do your utmost to come before winter. Now we see that Paul desired Timothy to also bring certain parchments with him to Rome. Now, whether this was certain writings on blank parchments or it was old copies of scripture, we don't know. Maybe it was things for him to write upon. Your guess would be as good as mine. And then in 14 he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Now we do not know which Alexander is referenced here. There are three mentioned in the scriptures, and this could be any one of them. We see mentions in Acts chapter 19, verse 33, 1 Timothy 1, verses 19 and 20, and here in verse 14. Brother Winton, in his commentary, felt that this was more likely the one that we read of in 1 Timothy 1, verses 19 and 20. Now, like the archangel in Jude, Paul would not speak of vengeance toward Alexander, but like the archangel, left it in the hand of the Lord. Again, in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Notice Jude verses 8 through 10. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts in these things, they corrupt themselves. Paul wanted Timothy to beware of Alexander. Paul pointed out how Alexander had greatly fought against the truth that Paul had taught. So now Paul, as we move forward, begins to address the trial of Paul. In verse 16, he said, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. When Paul gave his first defense, no one stood with him. They all deserted him. Whether it was the truth of the gospel that he spoke in his trial, or whether it was the ability he received to preach the gospel in his chains, Paul proclaimed the truth, and many would respond to the gospel in his trials. Paul still proclaimed the gospel, even in the face of certain and impending death. Barnes said that one of the most important means of establishing the truth of the gospel in the world has been the testimony borne to it by martyrs and the spirit of unwavering confidence in God which they have shown. Men judge much and justly of the value of a system of religion by its power to comfort in the day of calamity and to sustain the soul when about to enter on an untried state of being. Verse 17 says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all Gentiles might hear. Also I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." The common practice of Nero was to throw men to the lion's den, like in the days of Daniel. Yet Nero did it even for sport. But God delivered Paul from this possible means of death. It could be a figurative statement, but I really believe it to be a literal one. Then, in 18, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." So Paul's great faith and spiritual maturity, like Daniel of old, was strong enough to believe that God would deliver him from evil works and workers. But he also understood that he would one day die. He knew that if he died as a martyr, it would be to the glory of God, and that he would inherit the crown of righteousness. So in the case of Paul, he wins either way. We can glorify God even in death, just as the apostles did. However, we come to the end of this life. Now, Paul's final words. In 19, he said, "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." Priscilla and Aquila, that great married Christian couple. And we read much of them in the New Testament. They are the ones that taught the truth to Apollos, among many others. Notice Acts chapter 18. In verse 26, "So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They had even endangered their own lives for their beloved brother Paul. Romans 16 verse 4 says, "Who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." Onesiphorus was beloved of Paul and had provided refreshing for Paul. Go back now in 2 Timothy to chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. And Paul continues now in verse 20, saying, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Paul informs Timothy that Erastus is still in Corinth. He stayed there after going with Timothy to Macedonia. Notice Acts 19 and verse 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a time. So Paul informs Timothy that he had left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Lipscomb here noted that Trophimus went with Paul to Jerusalem, was a Greek of Ephesus, and Paul was accused of leading him into the temple and profaning it, which brought on the tumult against him. That he was left there in a state of sickness shows that Paul's gift of healing was not permitted by God to be employed for private needs, even for the purpose of securing him to the services of his closest friends, but was only to be used when there was some clear intimation of the Spirit that it was fitting. Note Philippians chapter 2 and verse 27. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And then in verse 21, he said to Timothy, do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Paul greatly desired Timothy to reach Rome before winter. Christians that we know nothing about except that they were beloved of Paul and of the household of faith. These final mentions of Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, and Claudia, and the rest of the brethren with Paul. The Holy Spirit does nothing by accident, though. What a tribute to be forever remembered in the Scripture for their faith. And Paul's second letter to Timothy closes out in verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And these are considered to be the last written words of the great apostle. We'll close our study with the words of Burton Kaufman concerning this. Brother Kaufman said, what sadness fills our hearts as we contemplate the termination of so fine and great a life. Did Timothy reach him in time to supply any comfort in his martyrdom? Did the execution take place immediately, or at some protracted point afterward? What did Paul do with the cloak? Did he bequeath it to Timothy? And the parchments, and the books, how much we would like to know, but the silent centuries mock us. However, not altogether, for the important things are known. If one ever died triumphantly, it was Paul, and his holy words still challenge men to believe and obey the gospel of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we end our study of Paul's two letters to Timothy. I hope that you have been edified by it and exhorted to greater service. I know that this has been a great reminder to myself. And so next week, we will begin a new study here in our Thursday Mornings for the Masters. I'm not going to tell you what. You'll have to tune in to find out. I hope that you'll join me. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it will be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Be sure and stay tuned today for programming throughout the day here on TGRN. And tune in tomorrow and join Preston McElyea as your Friday host here on Mornings for the Master. So, if the Lord wills, I'll see you next week at this same time. So until we meet again, I hope you have a great day, and may God bless you. So long.